What's up? My name is Russ, and you have landed on the world famous, often imitated, never duplicated, veteran-owned and operated Dapper Dividends podcast, where we talk about predominantly dividend investing. So what's up, you beautiful investor? Hey, I was working at a post office and I didn't get to talk to the dude, but one of the supervisors there was leaving as he was walking by and he had a sweatshirt on. It was a young black dude and it said something like future millionaire in progress. And I was like, that is really, really slick. I like that. And it motivated me because I thought, I'm a millionaire in progress. And yes, we are getting closer there. My wife gets funny when I share exact numbers, but let's just say we are much closer to having a net worth of $1 million than not having a net worth of $1 million. And that's all I'll leave that at that. But yeah, anyway, so I sent out the newsletter this morning showing you things that we did, what we bought, and yada, yada. Actually, I'll just get to it now. But yeah, we're going to talk a little bit of news here. And I was reading John Malden. I don't know if you know him. Investor, economist, interesting dude all around, older. Got me thinking, and I got excited, and then I did a little more digging, and it didn't turn out to be what I thought it would be, but a new space we're going to talk about. And then the big whole topic here, and I'm sorry, if you watched the YouTube video, you got the gist of this, but an ETF mistake you do not want to make. And I'm going to tell you the very, very first thing you should do before buying an ETF, no matter who you are. And, you know, it's funny. I was just reading. I love reading the news. I love reading a lot of things. I'm reading Poor Charlie's Almanac. That's great. It's fantastic. It's got his speeches. So I'll drop a link to Poor Charlie's Almanac in the show notes, and it'll be an Amazon affiliate link. And hey, if you want to support the show, you want to order the book from there, that'd be cool. I would be forever thankful for you. I'll get a few bucks or whatever it is they kick back my way. But it's just really amazing how Charlie says, no matter how old you get, it's like the minimum requirement for life is continual learning. You have to keep learning if you want to be a success and have a successful life. But I was reading about Apple. They're being sued by the DOJ. What's it going to do? It's about their walled garden. I'm sure you've seen the news. Everybody's talked about it. And all I'll say is Apple's going to figure it out. They've got lawyers. They've probably got more money on hand than the government does, but it's going to take years to work through because that's the way that the big bloated bureaucracy of the United States federal government moves, very, very, very slowly. Another thing that's big and bloated in a beautiful way is Costco. They're opening up a furniture and appliance store. Why did I say it like that? You know what's funny? You kind of dial yourself up to 11 when you talk to people on podcasts and whatnot to make it not. It would be pretty boring if I were to tell you about Costco and they're opening up a furniture and appliance store in Anchorage, Alaska. I mean, come on. If I did that, it would be a fantiddly-tastic cure for insomnia, I think. So yeah, I don't know. At times it's, you know, this is off the rails, but it kind of catches me thinking like, hey, you kind of turning yourself up to 11 there, guy. What's up with that? Well, that's what's up with that. We don't want to be boring, you know. You can do anything you want, but you can't be boring, they say. But what's not boring is Costco and their big furniture and appliance store they're opening in Anchorage, Alaska. And what are they doing that for? Well, some people want to try their things. When we go to Costco, they have a couple couches out and whatnot, but they sell a lot of things that you don't find in the stores, like they have a coffin line that you can buy coffins from Costco. I'm not big on the whole coffin idea because honestly, I've already told my wife, whatever the cheapest thing is, I don't care. Don't let them upsell you on anything. Whatever the cheapest possible thing. You would tell the guy like, hey, can my, we got some family members. They're going to go to Home Depot and make a plywood box to put this guy in. Is that okay? Because honestly, for me, I'm dead. I don't care. I'll be dead. Quite honestly, the ultimate way to save money is just say, I've joked with my wife. I'll say, don't tell anybody. Take me all the way over to the middle of Lake Michigan and tie a old used 25-pound weight to my feet and drop me in. You know, the authorities might not like that. I'm sure there's some law against it. But hey, you want to talk about saving money? That's how we're going to save money. Pat, keep the overhead low for my kith and my kin. And yeah, I don't know. No, we'll just tell. Whatever happened to old Mr. Russ? Well, he went out to the store for milk and he never came home. That's what they can tell him. But anyway, so Costco is opening up a furniture and appliance store in Anchorage. They're going to do one in San Juan. And we'll see if it takes off because, yeah, it's just people would like to try furniture and just poke around it a little more than what they have in the store. So that's what they're doing there. But now, news. We got a little bit of news as brought to you by SimplySaveDividends.com. First up, ticker CTRE, the healthcare REIT CareTrust. They bumped that dividend 3.6% higher, which is their 10th straight year. And they do skilled nursing REITs, having some labor challenges and lower occupancy compared to the pre-pandemic levels. But they give them a safety score of 61 safe, 4.84% dividend yield, which is actually in line with their five-year average. This one, I wish I could have back. JP Morgan, ticker JPM, raised their dividend 9.5%, which is their 15th straight annual increase. And stupidly, because they hadn't been raising their dividend, it was at a buck for a while. So they get a dividend safety score of 60 borderline safe, but the damn thing's closing in on $200. Yours truly, when it was right around, I think 109, I think it was 109, and in the self-directed IRA, I had money and different things I was selling. I had 100 shares of JP Morgan, and I was selling covered calls, figuring, you know, make a little bit of income, but I could probably get some REITs instead. And anyway, the shares got called away around 120-ish. So I made, you know, I made a little over $1,000 on that. Had I just held and did nothing, just sat on my silly little hands, I would have been up about 10 grand, dividends included, where things are now. But hey, you know, that's why I love it. Charlie Munger talks about just sit on your ass investing. God, I love that. That's what we need to do more of. Just buy right, and sit on your ass and don't do nothing else when you find these great, great businesses. So JP Morgan, and they have a payout ratio of around 25%. So that 2.34% yield kind of is low right now, but keep your eye on them. If they dip, you might want to take a bite of them. Ooh, we got a dividend downgrade from 50 borderline safe to 40 unsafe for the Diversified Metals and Mining Company, ticker CMP, Compass Minerals. They go all the way back to 1844. They downgraded their dividend to unsafe, 3.42% yield. They refreshed their outlook on the mortgage REIT company Annaly Capital, ticker NLY. Comes to mind is a Seeking Alpha article, I think from Rita Morva, I think did this one where he must have went back 20 or 25 years and compared Intel with Annaly Capital. And in the dividend community, we love dunking on Annaly because they cut the dividend a lot. It looks like it's been decreasing. High yield. It's unsafe. You know, they found it in 96. So maybe it was going back to the late 90s with Intel. I think before the internet bubble burst. But yeah, if you would do total return, so dividends reinvested, you would have a bigger nest egg. Well, not nest egg, but you would have a bigger position with Annaly than you did for Intel. So that's kind of a crazy and wild thing, everybody. Fertilizer and Agricultural Chemical Company, ticker FMC. They got a dividend downgrade from 60 borderline to 50 borderline, the lower bucket of the borderline. Safety score, 3.72% yield for FMC. This one, breaking news, we're talking about this on the live stream. Old Cracker Barrel, ticker CBRL, got a big dividend downgrade from 40 unsafe to 20, very unsafe. Current yield, 7.89%. It just turns up, they've inflation has hurt them. They've had to charge more. People have been spending less. So they're kind of facing it right now. And it looks like they're probably going to be cutting the dividend, although it has not happened as of this recording. Biotech company Amgen, they reaffirmed their safety score of 74, safe, 3.26% yield, and they said Amgen is on track to meet deleveraging goals while growing the dividend. They also reinfreshed. What's reinfreshed? Well, I don't know. We make up words here, though. Canadian Natural, ticker CNQ, the oil and gas exploration and production company, which was founded in 1973, has they refreshed their outlook, not reinfreshed. 4.18% yield, dividend safety score of 70 safe. And last but not least, Unilever, ticker UL. They're spinning out their ice cream business, which I think is Walls, Magnums, and Ben & Jerry's. And I think the big one is Ben & Jerry's, and it kind of doesn't align with what the business is doing. They think it's going to unlock value for the ice cream business. They'll be able to focus on ice cream. Ben & Jerry's can go on being, you know, really, I know that they're really liberal and in their viewpoints and perspectives, and that's kind of clashed with Unilever, with the Big Pop parent company over there. So I think it's going to be a amicable parting and make sense for both sides. But also, with the ice cream business, that's the only frozen thing that I understand that Unilever does. Now, I think they had KNORR, Knorr, the frozen dinners and things, but see, as I'm telling you that, I read an article that said that it was their only frozen thing, but then I'm like, well, wait a minute, I think they have frozen TV dinners. But either way, it's supposed to align more with where Unilever wants to go, and they're just getting out of the ice cream business altogether. So that will be interesting. And Unilever has a 3.68% yield, slow dividend growth, last raised at only 3%. Now, I was reading the John Malden Thoughts from the Frontline newsletter, and he had some really interesting things to say about the whole AI craze, and that's, you know, they've got a breakthrough going on, and the implementation is going to be the fun thing to watch and to see how the operation of this really takes hold. And that means, like, we can get all excited about it coming out, new technology, we can see what it does, but when it has mass adoption, it's going to create an energy demand that we haven't seen in the past two decades. And when you couple that with, you know, so we've got AI, data centers, electric vehicles, crypto miners, people's HVAC, just all the electrical needs, there's going to be way more grid strain. And there was a researcher that figured out that just the NVIDIA chips that were shipped, the shipped chips, what are you talking about? Target shipping PepsiCo chips? No. By the way, Target does own Shipt, and Lay's has chips, so which is owned by PepsiCo. Anyway, so NVIDIA's shipped chips, he thinks, are going to be about 1% of the total world energy use. That's not even the cooling of the chips or the things that it's running, anything like that. So I know I'm a welder, everybody, okay? Don't take everything I say as gospel. Always question it, please. But the data centers, that's also where things are going to, is using 4% of U.S. electricity consumption, expected to be 6% by 2026. And I know everybody wants to talk about clean and green and things like that, but the point of it is that when you have all this demand, we can't take time off. The world has gotten to a point where it needs 24/7, 365 constant supply of energy. And when you're trying to go through solar or wind or geothermal, things like that can be intermittent. So companies like Google, they have an experimental geothermal power plant in Nevada for two data centers, my goodness, that they are trying to experiment with. And I know this, but from being in the Navy, I lived on a nuclear-powered vessel. It's the most 24/7, 365, consistently and clean electric energy generator that we know of is nuclear power. Nuclear. And, dude, the nuclear carrier I was on, I think they said it had to go for refueling every 10 or 12 years, something like that. Meaning that you have this giant floating city that is powered for about a decade without needing to do anything. It just goes from the nuclear reactors that it has. So anyway, the current nuclear infrastructure we have is aging, not being replaced. And there's a thing, a concept that I wasn't too terribly familiar with, and it's called small modular reactors, or SMRs. And I don't think as small as like the DeLorean that you would have on a time machine, right? The time machine. Or if you go to, the land of Idiocracy and they go to Costco for the time machine. Not that kind of time machine, but I digress. So Bill Gates, through Microsoft, invested in a company called TerraPower. Amazon bought a data center next to a nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania. So kind of along that same thing there. And I just think they're going to be interesting. So I started thinking, wow, yeah, we are going to need a lot more energy. Amazon, they bought a data center, as I told you, next to the nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania. But the demand for the AI, the energy consumption, is just going to compound upon itself and create a power problem. And until a replacement's here, I think energy, as does he, is going to be with us, which is the fossil fuels. So how we go about that, I mean, there's just, it's crazy. You go down rabbit holes. And currently, there's uranium-235, which is what we use as nuclear fuel. But there's something called thorium, T-H-O-R, like, you know, the Norse god with a hammer, Thor. So thorium, it's a metal. My brain's just thinking, thorium? That sounds like a fun place. It sounds like an emporium for Thor. It's a thorium. The thorium is a metal that could be used in nuclear reactors and making electricity. But the cool thing, anyway, we won't go too deep because I'm still learning about this, but thorium is more common than the uranium-235. And according to estimates, get this, the Earth's upper crust contains an average of 10.5 parts per million of thorium, where the uranium-235 that we use is about 3 parts per million. So it's more abundant and it could be better for things. But I started thinking, well, look at these companies. I want to invest in this. And as I went through either mining companies or SMR companies that are involved with that, they're either private, like Westinghouse was one that sounded interesting to have portable small modular reactors, but you can't invest in them. They're privately owned. Some of them were penny stocks. The miners were penny stocks. It's just, and then the few companies like BWXT and I think not Nucor. I didn't write this one down, but put it this way. I spent about 2 hours going through all this and I didn't see any attractive opportunities. And I think I would just default back to what we did a while ago, was investing in URNM, which is an ETF. It's got a bunch of miners, a bunch of yellow cake companies, all the businesses, all the ways to have exposure to uranium, the nuclear power that, or the uranium that's providing and powering nuclear power, is URNM. So I would just say if I really wanted to do that, just go URNM. That's probably the best way to do that. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't tell you what we bought. We had a few buys this week, $15.38 in dividends from Duke. That's the last one because we sold Duke. Bought one share of SCHD at $79.89. I know, I'm tired of waiting for it to come down. So I'm going to nibble a few shares here. That way, when it does hopefully come down, I'll be more apropos to buy 7 shares of Agree Realty, ticker ADC, $55.77. And then 10 shares of Harrow Health, ticker HROW. Harrow Incorporated, excuse me. They changed their name. Ophthalmologic, eye care drugs. Really like the business. I think things are starting to ramp up. If you're looking for an investment in a business that doesn't pay a dividend, that is probably still right on the ground floor, I would look at Harrow Incorporated. They got products for dry eye disease. Lots and lots of ways they're trying to expand the business and not just, but do good for the patients, to charge less. They just got a J code for one of their eye drugs, so which means they'll be able to get reimbursed through Medicare, which should really, really ramp up. And I mean, it's just really good things. really big, long shareholder letter from their CEO, which I will also have a link to. Dude, we got more links than Pebble Beach Golf Course around here. But yeah, I would pop on over and look at some of their slides and read Mark Baum, his shareholder letter. So the biggest mistake that ETF investors make, clearly, I think.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is not understanding an ETF. And we talked about this on a live stream last Monday with SCHD Stan from over there on X. All that that means is that SCHD had its annual reconstitution. And what that means is it has criteria. It has certain criteria that we laid out that the stocks included, the 100 that are in there, have to meet. And if they no longer meet it, they get booted from the index that SCHD tracks. So that happened with Broadcom, Merck. Those were two of the big ones that got kicked out because it's almost unfair, right? It's almost like they're being penalized because they went up too well. So I'll read you the 23 that were kicked out of the index and out of SCHD. Broadcom, Merck, Automatic. Oh, by the way, I do have a spreadsheet link for this also. I think this might be a record for links, literally. So if you want to see everything I'm talking about, I'm going to go through quick, very quickly here. And you have to understand, I'll just get cut to the chase. Before you buy an ETF, any ETF, I don't care what it is, you have to understand that you are not buying the individual holdings in the ETF, but you are buying the methodology that selects and holds the individual stocks or assets, whatever the heck is going into that ETF. You are buying the methodology and or the active managers running the ETF. That's what you're buying, not what's in there. So what's in there obviously will affect the performance, but I hope that makes sense. So check out the spreadsheet that's linked in the show notes below or over there, wherever it is. But here you go. Real quick, we'll whipsaw through the 23 that were booted out. Broadcom, Merck & Company, Automatic Data Processing, Blackstone Group, Illinois Tool Works, 3M, Allstate Corporation, Newmont Corporation, Williams-Sonoma, Northern Trust, Tyson Foods, NRG Energy, which, by the way, did you notice with NRG, which is its ticker, NRG? If you say it quickly, energy, NRG, it's like energy. Very clever, NRG. Kellogg, International Paper, First American Financial, Paramount Global, Advance Auto Parts, Lazard, Federal Agricultural Mortgage, which I think is Farmer Mac, Stewart Information Services, Sturm, Ruger & Company, the gun manufacturer, Ennis, and Hanmi Financial. Those were kicked out. So 23 came out, 23 went in. Here's what went in. We had Bristol-Myers Squibb, Hershey, Cincinnati Financial, Skyworks Solutions, CF Industries, Dick's Sporting Goods, Tapestry Incorporated, never heard of them, probably should take a look, East West Bank Corp, APA Corporation, HF Sinclair, ticker DINO. You know when you're driving on the highways and byways and you see that green dinosaur at a gas station called Sinclair? That's this stock, HF Sinclair, ticker DINO, clever. C.H. Robinson, Worldwide, Vail Resorts. This is our number one position right here. Nexstar Media Group, ticker NXST, was added. Columbia Banking System, Insperity, Lakeland Financial, Virtus Investment Partners, Heartland Financial, AmeriSafe, German American Bank Corp, Preferred Bank, and First Bank Shares. So a bunch of banks going in. We'll see. They're undervalued, so hopefully that'll, you know, pump up the yield a little bit, which the yield did go up a little few percentage points. And we'll see what that does with SCHD over the long haul. But, you know, as SCHD Stan said, trust the process. You're buying the methodology. the methodology, and you have to trust the process. So the way you do that, and like I said, I have a link to the video if you want to watch it, is you have to look at the prospectus. I go through the prospectus really quickly, show you what to look for. You got to educate yourself on what the ETF is buying. So it's, if you want a completely hands-off approach, the one mamma jamma hands-off is just buy VTI, ticker VTI. You are buying almost 4,000. It's the total U.S. investable market is what you're buying. That's all you need to know. So if a stock, if a business goes out of business, they get dropped. Some new startup, hot shot new startup like Reddit comes in. Now you're an investor in Reddit. And that's just the way that that one goes. And then the biggest of the best, like the Mag 7, those all bubble up to the top. And you're going to own more of those wonderful, great businesses. So, hey, you're getting a cross section of America. You don't have to learn any finance terms, any accounting. All you have to do is just make one decision and hopefully automate it and just keep putting money into that. And that's the cheat code for financial freedom is automation. Like we did with my wife's, I was going to say we did with my Roth's wife's IRA, but we did with my wife's Roth. Boy, that's a mouthful of marbles. Her Roth IRA, $50 every Friday. We don't think about it. It's funny because I'll be working on Friday. I get a weird alert on my phone. I'm like, oh, it's Fidelity. And we chose Fidelity because you are allowed on Fidelity. They don't have it at Schwab yet, but when they do, I'll probably switch just to keep everything in house at Schwab more so. But you can buy fractional shares of an ETF. I think VTI was, I don't know, somewhere in the vicinity of $250 a share. So you can't buy fractional shares on Schwab. And we just wanted hers to just boom every Friday, $50 of VTI. And you don't think about it. Set it, forget it. And that's it. And I hope you set it, but don't forget it, to come back to listen to this podcast once again. Hey, shoot me an email, russ@dapperdividends.com, or follow me on X at rustyram78. I think those are all linked in below. It's going to be nuts. We're going to have 500 links one time. No, I clean them up every episode so you don't get too confused. So I really do thank you for spending some of your time and letting us come into your ear holes for almost 30 minutes here. Not quite, but do come on back. We thank you. I look forward to having you hear me again. That's what I wanted to say. I'll talk to y'all later. So long, everybody.